The more time I spend as a single guy, the more reasons I find it's better to be single than married. Over the last couple years, I've made a couple of videos on this topic. They've been very popular. And I thought that on the last video, I had kind of exhausted the whole subject because I had listed out 50 reasons why it's better to be single than it is to be married. I'll put a link at the end. But today, I have at least another 30 more reasons. Now, these are a lot more in depth, a lot more complex, but man, these are some very hardcore reasons why it's better to be single than it is to be married. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. Recently, I was talking to a couple of guys that really shook me to the bone, quite honestly. Both of these guys had been accused by their wives of the most heinous crimes you can imagine. And both of them had been completely acquitted and found to be innocent. The women paid no price for this. The men paid enormous prices in their reputation, at the very least. And they both spent some time in jail. So I don't know how this happens. I don't know why it happens. But for some reason, a woman can make an accusation against a man, and everyone in the world believes that she is right, and that man is going to pay for just her making the accusation. This is a huge, huge problem we have with our society. And it's just one more extremely good reason why it's better to be single than it is to be married. Because if you're not living with her, she can't accuse you of anything. If she doesn't exist, you don't need to worry about spending the night in jail just because she got pissed off at you and decided she was going to take out some retribution and use her female honesty card to declare that you're a bad guy and the whole world's going to come and get you. Yeah, that's a good reason right there. If that one doesn't get you, I don't know what will. This way, guys. When you make the conscious choice to live your life as a single man, and you make the decision for yourself that you're going to live your life to the fullest, that you're going to become the best man that you can be, and you no longer seek external validation from a woman, you set yourself free from so many limiting thoughts and factors. You are unlikely to make a decision where you sleepwalk into a relationship, where you're following your loneliness into a situation that you will one day later regret. This is a huge, huge, huge thing. This happens to so many men, where they find themselves lonely because they're not comfortable in their own singleness and their own right to be single or their masculinity or whatever it may be, that they think they need a woman for validation to make them feel whole. Yeah, you get that off the list and suddenly you are free. When you're no longer seeking a woman for social validation, to be legitimate to the world, and you just come to the world as you are, as a man, 100% in your own legitimacy. You don't need her to prove that you're valid, that you're okay, that you're acceptable. Changes your whole perspective. The fascinating thing that I have discovered over my last almost 7 years of being single is that it's so much easier to just be content and happy and peaceful in your life than when you have a woman. You're not trying to make anyone else happy. You're not responsible for anyone else's happiness. You're not trying to prove anything to anyone. You're not trying to accommodate someone else's emotional swings. You're not trying to soothe her ego or her inability to come to terms with her own femininity. You're not trying to explain things to her all the time. You're not trying to educate her on the ways of the world. You're not trying to limit her spending because she is out of control and she's seeking validation through the things that she buys. You're not having to defend yourself against false accusations, but that's just the beginning of it, you know? Her continuous efforts to take control of the relationship through criticism and judgment and other forms of emasculation because she's insecure about her own place in the world. I mean, the reasons are just limitless. They truly are. And the deeper I go into this subject, the more and more I find. The more guys I talk to regarding their marriages and their divorces, it's just like an endless well of reasons why being single is so much better than being married. It makes me wonder if I could make a list, or if anyone could make a list that opposes this. Like, is there a possibility that someone can make a legitimate list that says that there are 50 good reasons to get married? And I just don't think I could. I mean, and I was married for 20 years, and I generally got some good stuff out of it, but I cannot think of even, I mean, aside from my kids and all the wisdom I got, and now I got a good YouTube channel where I can talk about it, but I can't think of any other good reasons, you know? One of the most powerful things I've gotten as a single guy is self-reliance. When you're no longer seeking approval from a woman, you become really self-reliant. And it's not just reliant like physically in terms of your money and your home and your job and that sort of stuff, but I mean emotionally and psychologically self-reliant. I can't tell you how powerful that is. When you're not seeking anything from anyone else outside of yourself, you're not looking for anything. You don't need approval. You don't need agreement. You don't need consensus. You don't need anything from anyone else in your world in order to live your life the way that you want to. That's a very powerful thing. And I don't think most men realize just how powerful it is when they give up their freedom, their autonomy to a woman or to a relationship. Now, I think that most of us, when we get into it, we think that we are going to be enhancing our lives in some way, that we're going to be adding value. We're going to be adding value to our lives. When in reality, what we end up doing is we end up sacrificing so much. And I just don't think that most people even begin to understand how much they're losing in this proposition. Because they don't know, or they don't understand the psychology of women and just how needy they frequently are. And I did a whole really good video on this, and I'll link that one here too, and you guys can look at it if you haven't seen it already. But it goes deep into the psychology of women and really does help you understand it. And I'm not just beating them up, I'm not just being, you know, I'm not being misogynistic. I'm really trying to give you an accurate depiction of what goes inside a woman's mind when it comes to their experience and their role in relationships and how they interpret things. And I developed this from a lot of study, but a lot of questioning and a lot of experience with women in my life. And I think that it's a pretty accurate depiction. Now, they may not be perfect, and I'm sure some women may argue with me on certain points, but I think that as a man, if you watch that video, you're going to get a real sense for exactly what I'm saying, and you're going to recognize these things as being true. Most men have been gaslit by society from the time they were born to believe that women are angels, that they are especially good for some reason, that they have these characteristics, these attributes that are in contrast to men. Like, we're just not that good, and they are really, really good. And we have been led to believe that this is the case. And so we walk into these relationships conflating beauty with characteristics that we hold in high regard, with, you know, being virtuous. And that's what causes so much of our problems. And the irony here is that women realize this. They understand this psychology, and they also understand that we men frequently have the scarcity mentality when it comes to women. We have this issue in our heads that we think that women are the prize, that they are to be in some way held on a pedestal or in high esteem. And this is where we get into a lot of trouble, because then when we find an attractive woman, we end up submitting ourselves to them on some level, and we put ourselves in a position where we are for lack of a better word, simping a lot of the time. And when you come across a woman who is very beautiful and very charismatic, there's a really good chance that she has some serious psychiatric issues, you know? So you may come across a narcissist or a sociopath or a psychopath or someone who is struggling with just their own identity, and a personality disorder can really, really blow you up. And what's interesting about these personality disorders is that frequently these women realize that they have this problem and they do everything they can to cover it up. But when you're living with a woman day to day, you don't realize exactly how bad it's gotten until it really hits you. And in addition to that, our society, driven largely by external validation through social media, has emphasized a lot of these narcissistic characteristics and held them out as being positive in some way. Like, it's okay and good to be evil, you know what I mean? To other people, you know? Like, the world should revolve around you, that you should be better than everybody else, that you should be treated special in some way. That, I mean, and feminism reinforces this whole idea too. I mean, feminism has gone so far off the rails, I don't even think it's feminism anymore. I think it's something else completely different because it's an ideology. But this concept of the modern feminist is that they are better than men, and that men need to submit to them, and that they should be held in high esteem, and that when men don't serve them properly, that women should be taking action against them. Yeah, and this is how you get to the place where women feel it's okay to make false accusations against men as leverage to get what they want, to get what they want in the end. In one case, this woman was suing her very wealthy husband and accusing him of the worst heinous crime, and it got into the newspapers, you know? And the poor guy was, like, really just dragged through the press. And you know that the public perception of that gets turned and twisted into, oh, that guy is now a predator. That guy is, he's wrong. He's evil. You know, that's the way the media tends to portray these things. But very little comes out when the guy is completely exonerated, that his reputation should be wiped clean, but it never, ever is. It never is. He's always got to live with that on his, sort of reputational resume everywhere he goes. Oh, aren't you that guy I read about? Aren't you that guy that showed up in the papers? Didn't you have that thing with your wife? Didn't she accuse you of that heinous crime? Yeah, you never get away from that. You never get away from that. But when you're single, you see, that's the cheat code. That's the cheat code. That's what being single is. It's the cheat code for men. That's it. That's it. That's the whole theme of this video. Being single is the cheat code for men, because you're no longer confronted with all of the obstacles and challenges associated with having a woman in your life. It's like going through a video game and not having to take on the worst monsters. You really don't. You can just go right to the big prizes. You get to score all the points and not have to fight any of the dragons. Man, that's really what it is. That's really what it is. One of the greatest insights that I got from being single is recognizing that loneliness was a manufactured belief. It was not something that occurred out in the world, that it's not something you can catch, it's not an illness. It's something that comes from within. And once you understand that it comes from within, you also understand that you can control it, you can manage it. You have dominion over your loneliness, and you can reframe it in a way that turns it into something extremely powerful. And when you see your solitude as opportunity to find peace and to reflect on your life and to become more thoughtful and to seek wisdom, then your time alone is golden. It's like, why would I trade my time alone with my own thoughts and my ability to, hear my own thoughts and to seek wisdom in exchange for being with a woman? I mean, I remember, and I've mentioned this in another video, I was talking to a guy who was literally thinking about taking his own life because his wife had left him. And he was, like, going around and Googling the height of all the bridges in his town so he could see which one he could jump from. I mean, the guy was really, he was in the planning stage of this, like, he was down to it. And he was telling me all the stuff about his wife and how he loved her so much and their kids and how he was just so devastated that she was deciding to leave him. And then I looked him right in the eyes and I said, well, can you tell me what you like about her? And it took him like 30 or 40 seconds of just complete, I thought I had broken his brain, because for 30 seconds in this Zoom call, he's staring into the camera. And it was like is it frozen? Like, did we lose our connection? And then he spoke and he said, "You know what, John? I don't like her food. I don't like the way she cooks. We don't enjoy the same TV shows. We don't have the same hobbies. We don't enjoy being alone together, like when we take a car trip or something like that. I hate being in the car with her. And the only thing we really have in common is our children. And we enjoy parenting together. But aside from that, I really don't like being with her very much." I said, "Man, then why on earth are you Googling bridges? Why are you thinking about ending your life on behalf of somebody that you don't even like? You know? I mean, come on, man. Let's really think this thing through." And he just started laughing. And that's when it occurred to me, is that his idea of what this relationship meant to him was not based on the reality of what this relationship was. It was based on the social construct of this relationship and what he believed he needed to do in order to meet other people's expectations of him in the relationship, as a man, as a husband, as a father. That it was all of that crap that was telling him that this was an important thing that he had to make work. That was what was driving his love for this woman. But really, he didn't like her at all, you know? He didn't like her at all. He couldn't name anything aside from their interactions with the children that he liked about her. He said, "Yeah, she was a pretty good mom." You know, I like that about her. She's a good mom. But aside from that, yeah, I don't like her at all. Anyway, the social constructs around relationships are very powerful. They're things that we can talk about and seem like they're not that significant. But when you're in it and you're experiencing it, and you've got your family, your parents, her parents, the children, your neighbors, your friends, you're all built into this thing, you know? And everyone that you know is married, and everyone you know is going along with the idea that this is the right thing to be doing, that this is the way you do it. And in order to be successful in life, this is what you must do. Reach out to my Asian people here, you know, my Asian guys. You guys have it the worst because your parents put a lot of pressure on you to conform. Conformity in the Asian community is critical. If you're not doing what everyone else is doing, you're not doing the best. If you're not the best at it, then yeah, you're not good enough at all. And so now for my Asian guys, and this guy was Asian, there's a lot of pressure to not only get married and to have a good job and to conform in all the ways to be successful in your life and meet the society's expectation of what success should be, but to make it work no matter what. So even if your job sucks and you're working for someone like Jeff Bezos, who works you like you're some kind of a slave, and you're married to some crazy woman that you really do not even like, you better act like you're loving every bit of it. Yeah. Why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we allow society to take over our autonomy and drive us in directions that we don't really, really want to go? And then for some reason, we believe that because we're getting some intimacy out of this deal, like we're getting some physical affection, and we are going to enjoy that for a little while, that it's worth it, that that's the good trade, that our autonomy and our authenticity and our masculinity to a certain level, we're going to trade. We're going to just push all that to the middle of the table. And we're going to say, "Yeah, I'll give you all of that if you'll just sleep with me from time to time." Yeah, that's a bad trade, man. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. Another thing that most men don't realize, and I mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again, is how lopsided the marriage contract is. This is not something that any lawyer would ever recommend that you sign. Like, if they wrote down all the provisions of this contract on a piece of paper, you know, and you had a lawyer review it, you know, your personal lawyer took a look at this document and said, just to give you advice on what to do here, that lawyer would never recommend that you sign this document. But without even realizing it, when you put that ring on her finger and you get that marriage contract, that license from the state, you have essentially signed your life over to this weird form of probate where the government has the right to decide how your life is going to go from that point forward. Because if you don't conform to all the rules and regulations within this marriage, you are going to go to jail. And what I mean by that is if, like, there's child support, if there's alimony, and you think, I don't think I should pay this. This doesn't seem right. Like, I'm being given the shaft here. Well, you decide to not pay that, and they have the right to put you in jail for that. Just keep that in mind. So they've got your wife will have the power of the state on her side to enforce her view of how you should be performing from that point forward. And how that plays out in a marriage, especially when things, you know, get a little further down the road and you're starting to have some difficulty, is there is this implicit threat, whether she says it or not, that if you don't act in the way that she wants you to act, she will rely on the state as a form of enforcement to get what she wants. Do you see what I mean? Like, just knowing that she can basically extort money and resources from you, whether you agree with it or not, gives her the power to enforce her will on you during the course of the relationship, because she always has that threat. She can always push it on you. When you're single, you don't got that. That's right. When you're single, you're not worried about that. When you're seeking romantic love in your life, and you meet a girl, and she smiles at you, she gives you that little tingle, you start projecting from that point forward. In that moment, you begin projecting onto this girl, this woman, what your future is going to be like, what it might be like to be with her, what it might be like to go to lunch, to go to dinner, to go to bed. You're going to start thinking about this thing right away. You're going to start idealizing her. This is a trap. I don't know why we do it. I don't know if it's a biological thing. I don't know if it's a social thing, but some reason we fall into that. When you're single, you don't do that. When you are fully happy and content and peaceful in your singleness, you don't do that, because as soon as that process starts, you become aware of it. You recognize what's going on there. And then the rational part of your brain kicks in and goes, wait a second, how are you going to fit her into all this? How is this actually going to work? You really don't have that much in common with her, and you really don't want her living in your house. So just stop projecting. You just immediately see that. And having been single now for 7 years, and I haven't even dated now for a couple years, as I meet women in the world that I'm attracted to, and I start getting that little, start that little projection process, my rational brain kicks in faster and faster and faster. It's amazing. And I immediately stop myself and go, just stop there. Like, you, where are you going with this? What, that this is not happening. There is no way, you know, because that romantic side of your brain doesn't see any obstacles. It doesn't see the reality of the situation. Everything is rose colored. It's all pink. It's that pink mist that gets into your brain, and you don't see the reality of what's happening here. You don't understand just how dangerous this situation is. But when you're single and you're embracing your singleness and you're living a happy, healthy, single life, your brain starts working on your behalf. Your rational brain kicks in and says, no, man, that's not good. You need to stop that. Like, that's not going to work. Can't you see that she's too young? She's too this. She's too that. You got nothing in common. You know she's got issues. Look at the tattoos. Look at those earrings. What the hell is she doing? What color is that hair? You stop. You stop yourself really, really fast. You realize that there are red flags. But when you're out there as a guy that is making his way toward a relationship, and you're in seeking of a relationship, you're wanting a relationship, yeah, that rational brain of yours does not work that way. In fact, it works the opposite way. It gives you reasons to take steps toward making this relationship work. That's the worst case scenario. It's because you've got that pink mist in your blood. You don't even realize it. I talked recently about a guy who's on his second marriage, and he's 9 months into it, and he's realized that he needs to get out, like ASAP. It's because his ex-wife, his original ex-wife, had cheated on him, and he was angry and upset and sad that she had cheated. And he went out almost immediately after she left him and started dating, went right on the dating apps and immediately met a woman. And within 7 or 8 months, you know, they were standing at the altar. And 9 months later now, he's heading to a lawyer. So you can see in this scenario why this guy's ego was damaged by his first wife, and how he felt the pain of that, and how he wanted to get back at her, and how he needed that addiction fulfilled of having a woman in his life. And he immediately went out and made some really bad decisions and got himself married to a woman that is a complete disaster of a human being, a complete disaster of a human being. And now he regrets it. It's when you're in that way of thinking, when you're in that I need a woman way of thinking, that you create the opportunity for these kinds of messes to happen. And the only way to get past it without turning into some kind of a nut job is to just embrace who you are as a man and be single and find peace in what it means to be single, that there is value in solitude. You can still have relationships after you get, once you establish yourself as a single man and you feel really comfortable and happy in your singleness, you can still have relationships with women. I mean, you can still fool around. You can still go on dates. I'm not saying you need to become some kind of a monk. I'm just saying that you don't want to be offering up your autonomy as a bargaining chip in a relationship. That's something that you should maintain as your identity. You cannot be offering up your autonomy. Because the minute you do that, the minute you trade your autonomy for a relationship, you will pay a price. No, 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 stop. Hey, stop, stop. Jax, Shelby, come. Debu, come. 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 Debu, come here. Good boys. Sit. That's a good dog. What a good dog. What good doggies you are. Look at you. So smart. Yeah. You guys are so smart. Debu, you're such a good boy. Yeah, I know you want to run up there. I know you hear that other dog. You just want to go up there and sniff his butt, don't you? But you are getting control of that. Just like the men in this video need to get control of their desires to have a woman in their life. You're getting control of your desire to run up and chase after other dogs and sniff their butts. Very impressive. We're gonna have a treat in a little bit. I know, you heard that word. We're gonna do it. Promise. When you've been single for a while, you're still gonna have interactions with women. You're still gonna talk to them. You're still gonna see their behaviors, but you're gonna see them from a completely different light. You're gonna be able to recognize that woman who has that smell of hypergamy, where she's always looking for that next best opportunity. You're gonna recognize it right away, and you're gonna want nothing to do with her. You're gonna see when some woman always has plan B, she's always looking for the next thing, whatever it may be. And you're gonna recognize that immediately, and you're gonna know that you don't wanna have that woman in your life. You're gonna understand that many women are gonna weaponize your masculinity against you in the form of emasculation. And she's gonna be critical and judgmental, and she's going to use her emotions to get you to submit to her in some way, to become a simp. And she's gonna want you to be this way to her. And you're gonna recognize that that's not something that you want in your life. So you're gonna become much more discerning about the kind of women that you have. You know, the biggest mistake that men make, this is the one mistake I hear every single time when I'm talking to a guy. No guy has ever married a woman that he wasn't extremely attracted to, where he thought, you should see how hot she is, John. I can't tell you how many guys have showed me pictures of their woman, their wives or ex-wives on their phones in the camera. They'll hold up the picture of their wife or whoever, as if that is a rationalization, a justification of the bad behavior. You know what I mean? Of getting into this situation to begin with. But yeah, you should see how hot she is, John. Now, I know I have done that myself. I know exactly what that is. But it's like buying a Porsche that looks really, really great on the outside, but the engine hasn't been maintained, you know? And so it's costing you a fortune to keep this damn thing because it needs repairs all the time. And it's just draining your wallet, and it drains you emotionally and psychologically because you can never really enjoy the car. You don't really even get to drive it that often anymore. The car doesn't want to go when you want to go. You know what I mean? And you show me the picture of the Porsche and say, but John, look how beautiful it is. It's like, yeah, but it's just sitting in your driveway, man. You never get to use it. You never get to have any fun with it. It's not what you bought. You didn't think you were getting a giant paperweight. You thought you were getting something fun that was going to make your life better. Yeah, and it didn't. It didn't. So if you had purchased a Chevrolet, you know, or a Toyota or a Honda, you know, you probably would have gotten a lot more mileage out of it. So sometimes we men, psychologically, you know, we're out there seeking external validation through the most attractive woman that we can find. And when we find her, we discover that she's a nut job. Guess what? She's always been a nut job. She was a nut job when you met her, and she's a nut job now. You didn't recognize it when you met her. You didn't realize it, or you ignored it. But yeah, she's a nut job. You didn't look under the hood. You didn't want to know. That sound, all that oil underneath, you just ignored it altogether. It's like, it's probably fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah, don't marry a Porsche. That's what I'm saying. Don't do that to yourself. You're setting yourself up. More often than not, these women have lived their lives as celebrities. You don't know what they're like. You do not want them in your life. They are self-centered. They are narcissistic. They are dangerous. You do not want them in your life. And when you're single, guess what? You don't get that anymore. Not only that, but when you meet a beautiful woman, you immediately go to that thought. You think, she's probably a narcissist. She's probably a nut job. And within a minute or two of meeting most of these really beautiful women, you confirm that thought. It's like, oh, there it is. I can see it. But now if I hadn't been single, my old self would have been like, oh, she's hot. I wonder if I can get her to bed. You know, I wonder if I can sleep with her. How can I seduce this woman? What can I do to endear myself to this woman? Yeah. When you embrace your singleness, when you are a healthy single man, you don't do that anymore. Because you have the cheat code. You can see through this crap. You understand. You understand that she is not what you're looking for. So oftentimes, I hear from guys who are single and never been married, and they say, John, how do you deal with the loneliness? What do you do about sex? Now, being 61 years old, or on the verge of being 61 years old, I've had sex with a lot of people, and here's what I have learned. A lot of women, let me get clear there, not just people, women. Let me just get really clear here. It's pretty much the same thing every time. I mean, yeah, it's a little different. Slightly taller, slightly shorter, slightly fatter, slightly thinner, whatever, you know, different colors. But it's all pretty much the same thing. Yeah, it feels good, but once you've been there and done that, it's like riding the roller coaster, you know, down at Disney World. Yeah, you can only ride the roller coaster so many times. It's like, yeah, whatever. You know, I don't want to stand in line anymore. I'm done. So think about it that way. You know, go ahead and have sex. Hire a prostitute if you need to. Get a escort. You know, have shallow relationships. Get the sex thing out of your business, out of your system. Because trading your autonomy and your life for sex is not worth it. The loneliness thing I did kind of address a little bit earlier, but there's something else that I didn't mention. And that is, when you're in a bad relationship with a woman, it's not going to make your loneliness any better, man. I'm telling you, it's going to make it 10 times worse. Because there is no pain more intense than lying next to a woman that you're married to, who is not talking to you and does not want you to touch her and is upset with you for something that may have gone back for years and years and years, and you have no idea what it is. And you can do nothing. You cannot apologize enough. You cannot change her opinion about you in any way at all, because she hates your guts. And there you are, married to her, lying in the same bed, and you can do nothing. Yeah, that loneliness is way off the charts compared to what you're experiencing right now. So just be thankful that you're as lonely as you are and not worse, because trust me, it can get much, much worse. Men who get married frequently find themselves isolated from their friends and oftentimes from their families. This is the worst thing. This is the worst thing, because men really need other men, but we don't understand how much we need them. Because having a friend that you can count on, no matter what, is what you think you're getting when you're getting married. So you think that by letting your friendships fall away or losing touch with your friends is okay, because you've got this new friend, this new special friend, who smells good and likes to touch you in special places. And you think, I don't need those guys. They don't touch me in special places. I don't need them. You know, I'm good without them. Well, all that nice smelling, you know, friendly touches, they fade away sooner than you might imagine. And before you know it, you can't even talk to this woman, because she is the source of your problems. You can't tell her your problems, because she is the problem. You know, and even when you try from the most rational place, you know, you've read all the books, you read all the relationship books, you maybe even went to a therapist, and you've worked out how you're going to approach her, and you're going to say, honey, we need to address some of the issues in our relationship. We need to have a relationship talk. We need to have a relationship talk, honey. And you think you've made your case, that you've explained it. You've been, you know, very open about your feelings, and you've been open to her opinions and ideas, and you're trying to be as diplomatic and as thoughtful as possible, and you think you're making some headway, only to find out that none of that even mattered. It goes right back to the way it always was. She's still just as pissed off at you. She's still got this grudge she's holding against you, and there's nothing you can do to change it. Yeah, that is the truth. That happens all the time. Almost every man that I've spoken to who's gone through a divorce has had that relationship talk with his woman, who's tried his best, who has been diplomatic, who has gone through all the steps to try to heal this relationship. And women act like men don't do that. Every guy I've spoken to has gone through that process in order to try to heal his relationship. And it rarely, if ever, works. So, yeah, don't think for a second that getting married is going to solve your loneliness problem or it's going to be good for your relationships with other people. It generally isn't. Generally isn't. Earlier this week, I talked about some of the values of masculinity, and two of them being wisdom and courage, and how they apply in your life. When you're single, you have the opportunity to acquire wisdom and to express courage in your life all the time. When you're married, you don't really have the chance to focus on those things very much because you're constantly, now this isn't all the time, but most of the time when you're married, you're constantly trying to appease the needs of this female child that you are hitched to. She will throw tantrums. She will lose her composure. She will become irrational all the time. She is driven by hormones. She is driven by social media. She is driven by narcissism. There's so many characteristics that she has that you didn't recognize early on that now you're forced to deal with. And now the wisdom is, it's too late for that. Like you, you made an unwise decision and now you're in it. The only wisdom you can express now is to get out of it. But you're so far in, it's hard to do that. So you're just sort of frozen in time. You're just frozen in time. And the courage to get out of this thing is a lot more than you might think. You know, when you're seeing this or hearing it from the outside, you're thinking, well, why don't you just leave her? I mean, just divorce her. Well, when you got kids and a house and, you know, commitments and, you know, debt and all that stuff, it's really tough to throw in the towel, you know? I mean, you've gone down this path. You've had the wedding, you know, you've sent the invitations. People have sent you gifts and stuff, you know, you're in it. It's tough to just suddenly realize, I made a big mistake. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry I made this huge mistake. It's very tough. It's very, very tough. When you're single, you realize that pair bonding is not a path to fulfillment. That having a relationship with a woman, a marriage in particular, is not your path to fulfillment. Now, it can be your path to wisdom, but it won't be because you're getting the wisdom the way you think you're getting it. Like this experience is going to make you wiser because it's such an enriching experience. No, that's not the way the wisdom comes. The wisdom comes from doing a lot of reflecting as to why the hell did I get into this situation and how do I get out of it? That's where the wisdom comes from. You know, it's not from how much I enjoy this, but from what was I thinking? What were my weaknesses? What was my vulnerability that allowed me to make such a terrible decision to get into this, you know, this relationship that is so toxic? Yeah, that's where you get your wisdom. And then the courage comes from just getting the hell out. Like, that's where you're going to get it. But when you're single, yeah, wisdom and courage, man, it's there all the time. You got the wisdom to, you know, to think about your life and to figure out what you want to do and to make decisions on your own behalf. And you can have the courage to just move forward and do it. When you've got a woman there, you've always got to ask permission. You're always saying, hey, is it okay if we do this? If it's okay if we try that? Yeah, and if she's not on board, then you're, it doesn't matter how much courage you have, you're stuck. You're going to be doing what she wants you to do. So being single gives you the opportunity to live a fulfilled whole life. And when you're married, you're always making sacrifices. You're always compromising. You're always giving some part of your autonomy and your authenticity to another human being in exchange for whatever it is they're giving you. Now, sometimes that exchange is worthwhile. Sometimes you find the right woman and those sacrifices are not nearly as deep or difficult to make. But for most people, somewhere in the ballpark of 85% of the population are in marriages, these are married people, are in marriages that they are not satisfied with, that they do not feel was a good decision for themselves, that they don't feel like they're making a, like they're getting what they're giving. You know, they feel like they're in a situation that they regret. So don't get yourself stuck into a marriage. And if you do decide that marriage is an important thing for you, I implore you to become really good at being single first. Get to that place in your singleness where you feel 100% whole and confident and you need nothing from anyone else. When you don't need, and I mean like have this strong burning desire to have a woman in your life, when you're not just coming at it with this horniness or whatever, and you're just completely content you're going to make much better decisions. You're going to be able to see all of those red flags very, very easily. You're not going to let the pink mist, you know, fog your vision for who this person actually is. You're going to be able to measure whether or not the sacrifices that you would have to make in order to allow this woman into your life are worth it. And you're going to do it from a rational point of view and not from an emotional one. That's what the value of being single is. And that's why being single is always preferable to being married. Because you can't make a good decision about who you're going to marry until you've been really, really good at being single. And most guys have never had that experience. Most guys go into marriage as a way to avoid singleness. And that's the worst kind of scenario. That's the worst thing you can do. Because it's in your singleness that you discover who you are as a man. And when you figure that out, and you figure out what you really want, and what's important to you, what your values are, and what the vision of your life is, and all that stuff, and you build out your frame, and you can see it, and you accumulate a little wisdom, and you find in your heart a little courage, then, at that moment, you can make a decision, a clear-headed decision, about whether getting married is right for you. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you. I hope you've enjoyed this video. If you have, please like and subscribe. If you know someone who might enjoy it, please share it with them. Till next time, remember, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.